Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mliwa Gavaza, and for today, we get into a discussion around one of the largest telecoms operators in South Africa, that is Telkom. They've just come from releasing their first half results, that is, depending on what metrics you're using, you can either say Q2 or H1 for their 2025 financial year. And right now we're at the JSC and we're joined by Serame Taukobong, who is their group CEO, to take us through a little bit of the results, but more importantly the strategy that this particular business is currently on, and a little bit around where they want to go in future. Serame, greetings to you today.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So, where I want us to maybe begin today's discussion is the fact that a lot of discussion in telco right now, we hear a lot of buzz terms, but one of the biggest things we hear is that your telecoms operators are trying to become, trying to move from being a telco to being a techco. Right, and for the people not familiar with the jargon, that's moving from being a telecoms company to being a technology company. Right, what I'm keen to get your sense on is, given the current makeup of Telkom, you've got your three main businesses, the consumer mobile business, you've got OpenServe, which is the fiber business, and then you've got BCX, which is essentially a systems integrator. Is Telkom, within the South African context, is Telkom looking to, in its move to becoming a techco, is it looking to become like another player in the industry? Or would you say that perhaps other operators are trying to become what Telkom already is in this telco to techco, type of paradigm that we're talking about?
Thanks for that question. And perhaps let me flip it a bit.
Okay.
Because I think where we all confuse people is we talk technology.
Yeah.
And we forget that rather precious person called the customer.
Mm.
And let's start with them. Because I think that informs what the strategic direction is driving.
Yeah.
And the customer is sitting in a point where the customer is saying, actually, data is ubiquitous.
Yeah.
I consume it in many formats, at home, on the road, in my office, watching football, recording my son,
yeah,
or this recording. So it must be available any place, anytime. Now, when you come back to your ecosystem, you say, okay, how then do I best provide this? Which then drives your technology strategy.
Yeah.
Now, when we look at the assets that sits in the Telkom stable, we are best primed then as an InfraCo to drive exactly that. Because the assets put together then give us the ability to provide our customers with seamless connectivity.
Yeah.
So end to end, from fiber to your home, whether you're mobile in that regard, and within the premise. So our fiber propositions don't just talk to fiber to the home, fiber to the curb, fiber to the premise. What's key, however, is what enables that end-to-end connectivity, which is the strength of the OpenServe fiber network.
Yeah.
170,000 kilometers of fiber nationally. So not just about the last mile, which is the sexy part that people talk about,
yeah,
fiber to the home.
Yeah.
It's what enables that fiber from the undersea cables that come in to drive that. Key to mobile, for instance, is that the fiber that connects to the base station gives us then that speed and the quality of the fiber network. Obviously, in your premises, like we are now at the JSC, for us to deliver that quality broadcast requires extensive fiber, which is what OpenServe can provide.
Yeah.
So that's why this holistic viewpoint of InfraCo starts with the customer and says, how can we then best deliver that seamless connectivity to the customer? So to your question then, to say who's copying who, that's why we say we are best primed relative to our competitors to actually punch with both hands, because that entire ecosystem that everybody needs then to be sustainable to deliver fiber for the long term, and to deliver to the long-term customer demands is what sits in the telecom state.
You know, the reason I ask that question is because when I look across the industry, right, you've got a number of different players. When you look at the two big mobile operators, Vodacom and MTN, they've been, you know, looking to get, they've been building up their capability around the more, let's call it managed services with MTN Business, Vodacom Business. I look at what was primarily an infrastructure business in the past, that Seacom, they've, you know, gone and acquired capability around managed services and a little bit of systems integration. But about a decade ago, when Telkom took on BCX, it was like, what are we doing in here? But now you sort of almost see business, other operators either going and taking up assets, as in the case of Seacom with EOH, or building up their capability. So I'm just wondering, does a BCX, does a Telkom and OpenServe strategy now begin to, does the fruition of that picture begin to start making better sense now in 2024, perhaps, than it was when Telkom first took on ABCX, for example?
Absolutely. I mean, if you, and let's use BCX as an example, you know, and the evolution that BCX is going through now, because typically when BCX goes with the IT hat only into current environments, you know, challenge that corporates are facing, you go into a negotiation, a good negotiator, you will walk out there with a 15 to 20% discount. So any CIO right now, when Jonas's team walks in, they will walk out there pretty much skinned, right? Because that's how the nature of the business is working right now. Yeah. Now, when you have a combination, however, where you say, okay, let me look at your total ICT costs, not just the IT part, your connectivity part. Yeah. So now I can throw in my fiber, I can even throw in my mobile, and I say your total cost of ICT spend, I can give you a bundle offering. So now when Jonas and the BCX team walk in, they've now got more arrows in their quiver, not just negotiating on an IT ecosystem, but saying, this is the services that I can offer. Yeah. Because everything, for example, is moving on cloud.
Yeah.
Now, cloud requires large chunks of data and large chunks of fast, reliable data.
Yeah.
And that's what having an open serve, having a telco mobile can drive. COVID all taught us about mobility. People work from home. Now, that type of connectivity based on cloud requires a strong underpin of data connectivity.
Yeah.
So that combination is now beginning to work best, not just for BCX, but also for OpenServe as well.
Okay. And tied to that, maybe just the last point on this, on this, in this line, is around being an infraco, right? I feel like the piece around Telkom's infrastructure strategy that I don't hear a lot about is data centers.
Yeah.
Right. We always hear about the fiber, right? I think the fiber and the 170,000 Ks is the thing that everyone is always chasing. But when it comes to data centers, we're seeing a lot of deal activity happening, on the data center side. How are you thinking around data centers?
It's definitely not through us not looking at, right? So the key thing for us is we are consolidating the data center ecosystem and viewing it as saying, how do we now externalize the data center proposition, right? So Telkom has in its hood 10 data centers. A significant portion of it has been used for own, but BCX has been using a lot of our data centers to supply to external customers.
Yeah.
Now, the first phase of that has been gearing up our data centers for external customer usage. Now, I've learned a lot about data centers. And the first thing I learned about data centers is customers look for contiguous rack space. Right? So they want to make sure that when I come in, I must find contiguous rack space. So that's the first thing of cleaning up our data centers. The second part is redundancy. So a lot of our data centers say, okay, can I offer redundancies for our customers? So I want to be in Belleville data center, or I want to be in Centurion data centers. What's that proposition? Now, a lot of these data centers, particularly in the past few years, where power was a challenge, obviously you couldn't expand quite extensively. So that's the first wave of saying consolidate our data center proposition. The second journey towards that is there's a big movement towards edge data centers. Yes. Right? Now, an edge data center is get me as close to my customer base. The unique part about the telecom ecosystem is that if you look at the legacy copper infrastructure, actually had switch buildings, which are in proximity to large urban environments. We've got close to about 200 of those in urban environments. As we exiting copper, those switch buildings are now being upgraded to be edge data center ready. What's key for us is not to be putting significant investment in running data center ecosystems, but to partner with the right people. So what we're saying is we've got the properties. The beautiful thing about land is that God is not making more land, especially in the right location. So we've got the right properties with good fiber connectivity. And it's to strike the right partnership with the hyperscalers who bring on the clients and bring on the skill set and bring on the CapEx. And that's the long-term view that we want to do with all that problem.
All right. No, it makes sense, because I think I once heard a very interesting stat around some of those switching buildings, that the machinery that used to fill up these buildings is now literally... So you have a lot of, I guess, room, you know, to do something like that. And all the data centers that I've ever visited, it's a game of space and power, more than anything else. Do you think the on the infrastructure bit, maybe just coming back to the results themselves, Telkom has done a lot over the decades, you know, providing that backbone, you know, for infrastructure, but like you said earlier on, the so-called sexy side of it is, you know, to the business or to the home. What's the place of, from a continuing point of view, what's the place continuing to be that backbone? Or is there just an impetus to make sure that we get into that sexy space? And how do the results speak to that?
Well, I think if you look at without that backbone, it's always a chicken egg situation. Without that backbone, we would not be able to ride on the ability to drive the high data proposition.
Yeah.
So the question is always asked, but how can mobile be so aggressive with the data propositions? Well, because over 70% of our base stations are connected to fiber.
Yeah.
So the fiber pack factory is now the lowest cost producer of fiber. You know? So I always say, go back to my old retail beer training. You know, SAB is the lowest producer of beer because of the infrastructure that they built.
Yeah.
You know, pervasive breweries and a strong distribution ecosystem that has, you know, like Castle Lager, stood the test of time.
Yeah.
And that's the ecosystem that we have lying in OpenServe, that other than the last mile, you do need that strong backhaul in order for you to sustain that. And what you are seeing now is that as those small FNOs start to expand, they now realize that actually I do need that backhaul and I do need the efficiencies of that backhaul. So it's starting to pay out.
All right. My last piece on the InfraCo situation is, based on these results and a couple of the results that you've been having ever since you announced the InfraCo strategy, right? Whether it's getting rid of SwiftNet and then, you know, doubling down on the fiber infrastructure. when I'm hearing some of the questions that are coming out from the presentations, there's a lot of curiosity around how should we be thinking about telco. Do you think the market understands Telkom as an infrastructure provider, or do you still think you're perhaps still fighting old perceptions around what Telkom is versus what Telkom actually is doing?
That's a very good question. And I think there is the old era of Telkom,
yeah,
and there's a new era of Telkom.
Yeah.
And in the new era, it's certainly going to take time for the market to get that. And we appreciate that, because I think the new era has to be premised on continuous delivery of these results. And the market, I think, struggles perhaps with, okay, what does this InfraCo actually mean? And I think how you've broken it down is one of the ways of saying, if you take the long-term view and say, right, it's no longer about SIM market share as such, we're no longer SIM jockeys, but what exactly is driving the demand of this industry is data. And not just data consumption, but effective utilization of these assets. Because it's, if you can produce data at the lowest cost and be able to monetize it across all your facets, because it's not just mobile or fiber or in enterprise, but how can you holistically put all these together to go up the value chain? And that's the key thing.
Yeah.
Because it's difficult to compare telco. Mm. We're not a mobile-only business like Vodacom and MTN.
Yes.
But equally, we're not an EOH. Yeah. Right? Even within ourselves, we had to appreciate that BCX, for example, will never be at the margins of Telkom Mobile.
Yeah.
In its peer group, that's an 8 to 12% mark EBITDA range, and appreciate that that's where BCX will play its role. And in understanding that is then how do we put all those pieces together to move forward? I think let's also be quite blunt, Leroy. In the old era, it was premised on a certain promise. And like I said in the results presentation, we had to take a hard look at ourselves and disrupt ourselves and say that that path had its journey. We had to take a new journey. And the market said, okay, new journey, let's see. And it will take time, but for us, it's, we're sticking to our blue road and we will continue to deliver. And it's the sustainability of the blue path that's key for us.
And on that new path, I think you guys have dubbed it One Telkom. Mobile has obviously been a huge, you know, growth driver, the fastest growing mobile network in the country. And you know, that's a business that you ran once upon a time. But when you're talking to, you know, people in the market, sometimes there's always a little bit of a concern to say, you know, can it continue to run at the rate that it's running? And especially with the point that you make to say, we're no longer, you know, going to be SIM jockeys, right? Because fortunately, unfortunately, that's the metric that people, you know, will be using to count you guys across that 20 million. You know, and that was a big milestone for that business. You know, how do you think of it? From that point of view, how should we be thinking about Telkom Mobile, specifically that growth story?
So I think I still maintain that it's not about SIM market share. It's share of data revenue. And I think that's a key thing for us that we are driving in the mobile ecosystem. It's really about the share of data revenue. And unfortunately, the market is still stuck on SIM market share. You know, I remember when, in my heydays before they fired me at Mobile, you know, when we stood at market day and announced 10 million subscribers, the market went, whoo, share price shot up to $100. But the key part is if we look at that data revenue in mobile and we measure it against our peers, we are targeting them to be number two, if not number one, in share of data revenue, because that's what the investment is all about. We're not a voice, a traditional voice. We are a data revenue share. The beauty of it as well in having that type of mix is that whilst mobile is growing, it allows us to get OpenServe to exit the legacy and make sure that the fiber can totally pivot. And now at 80% of its revenue, we're now beginning to, we've got to the inflection point that we can now see the next generation revenue getting out of it. It's also allowed it to allow us to reshape BCX and also get BCX back on its path as well. So the ability to one play against the other. Remember that 7 years ago, mobile, we were almost at the point of shutting it down as a business. And I think that's the benefit of having all three in one ecosystem, that we can play one against each other and allow us to grow. So still not about SIM market share, but share of data revenue is how we'd like mobile to be measured. And against that, we are certainly knocking on our competitor's door.
How are you feeling this set of results specifically? How are you feeling about, I guess, progress towards that specific goal?
I think the team is certainly heading in the right direction, and I think it's achievable. I think we are focusing in the right matrices. I think the growth is certainly the right patterns. 2 years ago, we certainly looked at trying to change our profile, looking at acquiring more postpaid subscribers. And I did say to the guys, you know, there's a South African romance around postpaid. I grew up in the rest of the continent. I mean, I applied my trade in the rest of the continent, where prepaid is 95%. And that's the reality of this market. Accept who we are and work on our strengths. You know, and if our strength is prepaid, be the best we can be in prepaid. And it's showing up. And if that's who we are, accept who we are, but be superbly good at who we are. And I think the team has actually pivoted towards that direction and is showing the results. So, and it's I'm seeing the trend. It's actually looking positive, and I think that momentum is in the right direction.
When it comes to network utilization, what do you think is being used better, your mobile network or your fiber network?
Both. Yeah. Because remember, the fiber network enables the mobile network, yeah, and also BCX. So that's quite key. Secondly, the mobile network in terms of where it was built, you know, we for the longest did not have the sub 1 gig spectrum.
Yeah.
We only had the 2300. Yeah. So we are really maximizing that 2300 spectrum, which is your 4G spectrum. And that's what's built the strength on our data propositions. So both actually complement each other quite well. And that's how we can maximize this InfraCo type proposition, that both actually work hand in glove.
The other one on the consumer piece, when you talk about Telkom as a consumer business specifically, it's always mobile. But you guys also have an internet service provider business. Do you see that as something that, you know, should, you know, grow? I guess your consumer offering, because that's where the other battle is, in the home. Yeah.
It is growing. And I think that is also part of, like I said, if you start with the customer, it allows us then to, you know, the next frontier, well, not only the next frontier, it is about your fixed mobile convergence offering, where you can offer in the home then a combination of, in the home, you've got your fiber, you've also got your mobile, and you will leave your home. So you've got the proposition then of your LTE proposition where you go. So you can then offer the customer the end-to-end journey of what you need. So that's why if you look at where fiber is going, particularly with the more detailed segmentation, Telkom in the consumer division have a gaming, you know, VS gaming. Now, if you take a combination of that gaming, I was talking to you about DGI, but there's also gamers love speed.
Yeah.
So through Telkom ISP and a combination of OpenServe, they're now offering fiber to the room. I mean, we've talked about fiber to the room. Fiber to the room talks about faster speeds. I've been told by gamers, I don't believe it, I'm not a gamer, but with faster speeds, apparently you can shoot somebody faster.
Yes, now, low latency.
Low latency, right? Yeah. So latency is a big thing for gamers. So that's the type of proposition where now the combination of Telkom ISP and OpenServe being able to offer fiber to the room gives to that niche segment better speeds. I learned a very interesting stat as well from my consumer teams teaching me things in my old age, that there is something common about influencer and an Uber Eats driver.
Okay.
They all have similar demands, which is upload speeds.
Yeah.
So for an influencer and an Uber Eats driver, they need faster uploads so that they can upload contents or get upload orders faster. So for those customers, they offer then differentiated data propositions because upload speeds is more important for them than download speeds. So they've got very smart people who actually go to these segments and say, okay, this customer requires this better speed or this better requirement. So it's not just a blanket offer for everyone, but they go down to those type of usage patterns to say this customer actually prefers better uploads than better downloads. So very clever people who do all the smart things. So
I'm going to divert a little bit and I'm going to say that I 100% agree with that view because I'm not an influencer, but I consider myself a power user.
Yeah.
In terms of network, all of these recordings that we do, you need
upload.
You need upload. And a lot of network providers tend to prioritize the download. Yes. Speed, which is why when I pay for fiber, I'm looking for symmetric connections.
Exactly.
Give me equal on both sides, and I'm willing to pay that money. So I'm 100% with the influencers and the Uber drivers.
But that's where the guys have actually gone through segmentation and through Telkom ISP and actually gone and say each user actually has a unique profile and can they offer then bespoke propositions per customer profile. So I learned that 2 weeks ago.
No, it's a very good one, and you know the faster the speeds the better for some of us. To enable all of those faster speeds, to enable you know the fiber, to enable the mobile business and all of that, there's the investment piece, and that's a huge conversation right now. You know, around CapEx, right? But traditionally, Telkom has been spending less than others in the market. I do remember a couple of years ago when Telkom actually even suspended dividends, and part of that rationale was we want to invest, you know, in our networks, but it's still at a lower rate than what we see with Vodacom and MTN, and Cell C has decided to completely get out of the CapEx game altogether. So when it comes to that specific lag, there's a view that you guys are falling behind. Are you falling behind?
We're not. So, and I think if I use the current results and maybe refer people to the booklet, and it maybe demands a bit more explanation. So if I take the Telkom mobile CapEx, if you look at the current report results and look at the reported CapEx spend, right, there's two lines or two ways to actually read the Telkom mobile CapEx. Right. So you will see in Nonku's slides, she talks of a total CapEx spend, I think, year to date, just over 2.2 odd billion, right? Of which 48% is on Telkom mobile. So you'll say about 1.3 billion has been spent on Telkom mobile, yeah, which will then drive your hypothesis that you guys are underspending. But there's two expenditure lines on Telkom mobile's CapEx, and how it's really how we treat our CapEx differently. Okay. So that's one number, yeah. So 1.3. If you then go into the booklet, you will see that in the consumer income statement, there's another line called other expenses in the income statement, okay?
Yeah.
Because what then the consumer team is that they then rent or pay for their fiber backhaul from OpenServe, right? So there's a line there of 3.2 billion, of which close to 60%. So that's about 1.3 billion, another 1.3 billion odd is the fiber backhaul.
Yeah.
So total then is about 2.6 or 3.1 billion.
Yeah.
That how you should read the Telkom mobile CapEx spend.
Okay.
So on average per annum, we'll be spending about 5 billion in cash equivalent on Telkom mobile CapEx. Now, if you compare that then to our peers, so MTN at 10 billion and Open Vodacom at the same amount, a lot of that CapEx is them building their own backhaul.
Yeah.
Whereas what Telkom Mobile is doing is leasing
its
backhaul.
Okay.
which already has been built.
Okay, so there's a capex opex.
There's a capex opex expenditure. That's the one. The second part, then you say, okay, with that capex bracket of say 5 billion, yet look at the amount of data we are able to carry at the cost of it. Then who is more efficient in terms of capex expenditure is a question I'll throw back.
Right.
And if you look at globally, where is the trends going to in terms of capex to revenue ratio? It's heading towards the mid-lower teens. On the open serve side, like I said, a significant investment was spent historically in moving to fiber to replace the old copper.
Right.
So what we are expending our capex on is on the last mile in passing the homes. We've already built the backbone.
Right.
So unlike your massives, etc., who are waiting for the 13 billion,
yeah,
we have spent that money. It's really about passing the last mile.
Yeah.
And how we actually drive that expenditure, it's driven by, we see the high usage of fixed LTE from mobile. Now, where we see a cluster of high usage of your routers in the home, it gives us an indication that that neighborhood is a high potential for fiber take-up. We build there. We don't spray and cook. That's why we're able to achieve a 49% connectivity ratio, because we intrinsically build where we know there's a potential for fiber uptake. So it's far more efficient build. So that's how our capex bracket then is more comparable. So in the fiber perspective, is we've already laid down the fiber in our backbone. It's the last mile. In mobile, it's more of accounting treatment of there is the capex and capital expenditure, but the opex in leasing form.
So, because I remember the from what I remember, the mobile business also has a similar strategy. Roam in areas where you don't have network, but if there's enough demand,
yes,
you justify building your own,
yeah,
network in that area. That last mile, that last mile piece, because you guys have a very high connectivity rate, you know, at the 49%,
yeah,
that you spent. How do you decide whether it's more efficient to just keep people on fixed wireless as opposed to actually, guys, we've got a better proposition, here's the fiber? How do you make that specific decision?
So it's a price point. If it's a price point, and also your network cost of upgrading.
Yeah.
So if you look at an LTE subscriber on a $4.99 price point,
yeah,
at a high usage, that's a fiber subscriber. Because now when that customer is burning close to a couple of terabytes,
right,
you now have to go and upgrade your mobile network. Now, that subscriber, if that usage is in the high terabytes, is then typical of a fiber subscriber. It does two things for us. It's more cost effective,
yeah,
to have the subscriber on fiber. Two, you can give the subscriber better speeds and bigger bundles. It takes the pressure off the mobile network as well, because remember, that subscriber is now sucking up a lot of data usage for the rest of the users in the street. It makes us more efficient, because then you don't have to put more massive MIMO and that type of investment in the mobile infrastructure. So it's a case of saying, hold on, rather than going to put more upgrades on the mobile network, move those subscribers to fiber, because you can offer them more data, more speeds, far more cost efficient. And much as my competitors will talk about 5G, at its best, 5G will not beat fiber in speed and capacity on fixed. On mobility, of course.
Yeah, very interesting one, because I guess the rest of the market is concerned with being fiber-like. And I think that's the, that's the wording that tends to be used. So, you know, I appreciate the candor, you know, on that particular point. The tied to fiber is probably the question that you've probably received a lot in the last 2 weeks, massive Vodacom. How does that, and it's also something that came up quite a bit in the presentation. How does that affect maybe some of your strategic thinking? Because you guys have carved out OpenServe, and you know, there's been thinking around bringing in external investment, And obviously, you guys are an infrastructure company. So everything that happens on the infrastructure deal side probably feeds into your strategic thinking.
And I think two things. The carve-out, I think, was the last stage of the journey of the past era. And I think we made it very clear to the market that we did do a market sounding exercise almost 2 years ago. And as part of our pivot to an InfraCo, we stopped that. So we're not seeking external parties and we're not talking to anybody about it. I think OpenServe is a critical part of our InfraCo strategy and we proceed with that part. So that's, let me make it clear on OpenServe, we're not talking to anybody, we're not seeking anybody. OpenServe will remain as is. I think on the decision of Massive, we'll obviously wait for the outcome to find out the reasons why. And stepping back and wearing more of an industry hat, I think it's important that we are very, very clear on why, and the British Commission must be very clear on the reasons why, because it certainly does not cast a little light for the industry as a whole. I mean, if you look at trends globally, even in the US, you've got, you know, T-Mobile came out. It does not make for a solid investment case for the industry, particularly for external entities looking to invest in our industry. So, especially in light of the fact that this deal was approved by the authority, ICASA, yeah. And then you have another entity now blocking this. So who actually is the regulator? So it asks more questions about who is running the industry as a whole. So it's deeper than just a CIVH and Vodacom merger, but it talks a lot about the industry as a whole. So it'd be quite interesting to see what were the reasons and what to next. So I think from an industry perspective, it's something that we would be interested to see what was the final outcome of that.
You know, one of the things that's very interesting to me is, to your earlier point about what's happening globally. When you look at, I think it's Vodafone, they recently got their merger with, I always find it hard to pronounce it. I think it's called Three. Called Three. Okay. Yeah, Three in the UK. But they have a book of conditions, you know, to that particular deal, which is where a lot of people thought this was going to go. But outside of that, is this co-investment discussion that's happening. Do you have that appetite to continue building on your own, you know, as OpenServe? Because everyone else, and even globally, is talking about this co-investment model when it comes to infrastructure investment, particularly on fiber. Or are you just comfortable in the fact that, well, we've put the capex down already with our 170, so our risk is different from other players in the industry?
I think strategically, if you look, and here it's not even at an OpenServe level, it's at a broader telecom conversation. You know, the board and ourselves would look at if there's a strategic co-investor with the same mindset and ethos. That's important, that somebody has to have the same mindset and ethos. The board would look at that. It has to be a strategic alignment. You know, somebody who's coming in to fleece a telecom and not have the same agenda would not be there. You know, if one was looking for a passive investor, it would not add value to telecom, because you are looking, we always say it's about scale, it's about capacity and capability, because those three are key to really building the broader growth for telecom.
Mm. Tied to the infrastructure, I think, is once again another big conversation. And it was a big conversation at your recently held SATNA conference as well. I saw a lot of people talking about it, and it was mentioned quite a bit on stage. Is obviously the LEO providers, your low Earth orbiting, you know, satellite providers. Everyone's excited about the likes of Elon Musk coming in, etc. Our question is just more about, everyone keeps talking about plugging rural, plugging holes in rural areas or places that don't have coverage. What I'm keen to maybe understand is, does a technology like that have any threat on yourselves as incumbents and maybe in your metro areas, right? Like I said, I'm a power user. So do you think I'm a person who sits there and be like, actually, now that this thing is here, I might switch? Or does fiber continue to be compelling enough in areas where it is prolific that satellite doesn't pose that threat?
So I think if you look at satellite, I mean, satellite is not new.
Yeah,
right. So it's complementary. Yeah. Satellite has been used intrinsically to in areas where there's not been coverage. Yeah. So if you were in the bush and wanted to go do your power recording, yeah, it would be complementary, right? Because you'd want to be able to do that services where you got no coverage. And that's where the complementary element of it would come. In terms of speeds, if you are in a static ecosystem, fiber will always win. Yes, there's a promise to roll out numerous satellites out there. But if you're talking from a technology perspective, static versus mobile, static will always win.
Yeah.
In upload speeds, in terms of 1 gig. So that's how we view the satellite ecosystem. And Telkom's always engaged with satellite players, particularly for areas where we've not been able to provide coverage. So that's the approach we take. Now, in terms of players coming into the market, our stance is very simple. They must play by the rules that we've all been forced to abide by, right? So the same conditions that we've had to abide by, from BEE to rural coverage to spectrum obligations, etc., the same rules for everyone, fair playing, and that's a simple principle.
All right. The technical guys tell me that at some point in the future, all this backhaul that you and me have been talking about for the last hour, some of that is also going into the sky. You know, some people are calling them base stations in the sky. Do you want a piece of these base stations in the sky, or are you okay being the people on the ground?
Yeah, but at some point in time, you can't be a Luddite and put your head in the ground. One has to look at what's the evolution, what's the cost benefit for it. If you look at Telkom's role as satellite, enabling satellite landing, that's what Telkom has been playing for in the long side. So we've got the infrastructure for that. So it's a natural evolution for us to do that. So as our ambition to be the bedrock of digital ecosystem and digital infrastructure for the country, we would have to consider every single piece that actually enables the country to move forward, and any form of complementary technology that does that, we definitely must consider.
All right. Now, that's one of the areas that I'm waiting to see how it evolves, you know, and develops over time. Saram, I'm hoping that as we are landing the discussion, we can come back to something we touched on earlier on, which is, earlier on, I had asked whether you think the market understands Telkom as an InfraCo, but now it's just more about the assets that you guys have as a business have famously been worth more than what the market actually values Telkom at from a share price point of view. Maybe you could just talk to us just around how you're thinking around maybe beating some of that or flipping some of those positions.
Yeah, I think good question. Like I said, the share price highs that Telkom reached, I think were in a certain era, in a certain journey. And the execution of that journey, or us not executing on the journey, is what led to the market repricing. We've drawn a line in the sand 18 months ago and said to the market, this is the journey we embarked on. And I think there's a couple of parameters that the market is saying, okay, let's see how you're executing the journey. I think the first part has been, let's close the SwiftNet deal. We are almost there. I think we are waiting the approval from ICASA. I think that'll be the first stone or the first milestone. And we believe that we will execute that in this financial year. That's key. I think the second one is continued delivery and key milestones like today of showing that this intraco premised on steady and continuous data growth is happening. We are delivering against that. We said to the market, we will exit non-core properties. We've delivered against that. So I think the key thing for us is our say-do ratio, that we promise what we deliver, and consistency.
Yeah.
I think the market punished us brutally when we came to the market with horrible free cash flow numbers. We said to the market, we will be consistent in delivering on free cash flow. And we've shown, yes, two steady quarters of reporting on that. Yes, one swallow does not make a spring. We have to constantly deliver and show sustainable free cash flow. We're doing that. We said we'll strengthen our balance sheet. Right? We were at our worst, 1.9 debt to EBITDA. We're now at 1.3. And I think the constant delivery of washing our face is what the market is expecting us. So it's not a magic wand that one can say, boom, share price, up you go. But it's for us to constantly deliver and the share price will come. So I certainly and the team don't wake up chasing share price. We've got to chase up and deliver on our promises and show to the market that one telecom is a journey. We got to 100 Rand not overnight. That era on that journey took 7 or 8 years. This journey might take the same period, if not shorter. So for us, it's about consistency of communication, consistency in execution. And that's our promise.
All right. So that's how we put a bow on this conversation. It has been great just understanding what's going on in the world of telecom from Group CEO Serame, just understanding what's actually happening. I think one of my biggest takeaways is that you have a business that is leveraging its fiber infrastructure more than anything else to enable all of the rest of its businesses. I think if I was to think of it, OpenServe is the platform, and then, you know, Telkom Consumer, and then BCX, or then the services that have been built on top of this particular platform. That's the way that I'm thinking about it. I'm sure others, you know, would also see things in a slightly, you know, different way. Also, just making us understand just how much that investment in the fiber network has been able to enable so many things, you know, such as a data-led network as opposed to one that is voice then data. And then also understanding the fact that from a CapEx point of view, so much has already been done in the past that at the moment you don't have to have the arms race because you favor the efficiency, you know, versus the actual amounts that are being put on the ground, and understanding that a lot of what's happening in the competitor space is more backhaul, which is already had, and then where Telkom is playing is actually then augmenting you know, some of its more customer facing things, such as, you know, connecting homes and that type of thing. Also understanding the place of you know, these three businesses and how they all work together, and the fact that a company such as BCX, the picture's becoming in Serame's worth, it's coming together now because you can go to customers as, you know, as a single entity and offer products across you know, the across the gamut of what Telkom has to offer, you know, through that you know, one particular channel. He also gives us a little bit of a history lesson to say that the Telkom of old is no longer the Telkom that we have now, and that there's probably a a re-rating that's already happened, but there's also a reframing that also needs to happen in people's minds just around what Telkom is versus what Telkom once was. And a lot of it is going to be premised, you know, on the infrastructure that's there. But, you know, more importantly, how do you use that infrastructure more efficiently? Have I left anything out?
Perfectly summarized.
All right, great. So that's it. We're in conversation with Serame Talkobong. He is the Group Chief Executive Officer of Telkom. Serame, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.